And our Skype line is open for you. That's George 97313. George 97313. We'll also take some of your text questions as well this final hour. The weekend programming, John B. Wells for you tomorrow, and I will be on Sunday with Emerging Artists, by the way. And Emerging Artists will start not the first hour this time, the second and third hour of the show. Let me tell you why. Russ Regan, who discovered Neil Diamond and Elton John, has got another discovery, and he's going to be on the program with Joss Tatum, and we're going to be playing some of Joss's work in addition to talking with Russ Regan about many things. He was the one who changed the name of the Beach Boys, by the way. They were called, does anybody remember this? The Pendletons. And that was their name. And he said, nah, you guys should be called the Beach Boys. Good call there. He was also the one who turned down Charlie Manson when he heard his audition. And he's convinced Charlie kind of went over the deep edge after that. So Russ Regan will be our first hour guest Sunday. Joss Tatum will be with him, and we'll talk about his work as well. And then hours two and three, in addition to the full show, but the bumper music will be Emerging Artists from all around North America. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We will take your calls. Final hour of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Weather still topsy-turvy, strangely cold in Southern California since I've been back. As a matter of fact, it's hotter in St. Louis than it is here. I mean, it is really weird. It still rains once in a while. This is not the rainy season. Something's going on. Things are flip-flopping, aren't they? Anyway, let's go to the phones. We've got a full hour to go of open lines for you. And don't forget the special hotline. It's the weird workers line. Check in with us on those weird stories. Not that you're a weird worker. Let's go to Thomas in Bard, California, west of the Rockies. Thomas, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Thomas. Thank you.
I wanted to call you about, you had this past show about a guitar that a lot of rock musicians had used, and they wound up dead. And I'm trying to get the name of that author and maybe his mailing address or his phone number.
Yeah, we'll get that for you. As a matter of fact, I'll put you on hold, and we'll do that. I don't have all that at hand right here. That was one of our weekend shows. So, Tommy, take care of that. Let's go to Michael in Albany, New York, on the wild card line. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling.
Hi, George.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay.
I was listening to all your shows, and I got a lot of things I was supposed to talk to you about, from pterodactyls to things that fly in the night.
You picked your favorite.
My favorite is the triangle planes, the big ones, you know, the ones that look the size of warships. Well, some look as big as 6 miles, some about the size of an aircraft carrier.
They're huge.
And one that stood over SUNY at 4:20 in the morning, it was back in February some years back, a girl had called you about seeing these little bags that were loaded in a truck and a green finger that kept trying to stick its way out. And 2 days later, I saw this one. It was sitting over SUNY. And then it just kind of waved a little bit, like it became like rubbery and disappeared. And then there was another one over the government building where the Rockefeller Plaza is. And right up on the Corning Tower, it had the bay open. There were two billboard size openings, and you could see in there, although I didn't see anybody coming and going because I was taking this fellow home in the taxi I was driving, and it was just parked up there, hovering, because there's a lot of antennas. So it wasn't exactly on the building, but it was hovering. Whatever they were loading and unloading was probably medical records, because that's all there is up there, you know. But it has to be one of ours, because nobody was trying to shoot it down. Nobody got excited.
Oh, and I think, Michael, most of these objects are ours, most of them. But those that aren't, you can't explain. They're coming from some other outworldly place. They are. But, Yeah, we've got a lot of things here. You know, Richard Hoagland calls it the Black Ops program. And I believe that. I mean, they've had machinery. They've had things out there for a long, long time. Next up, let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Brian's on the Skype line. Let's see how you sound, Brian. Go ahead.
Hello.
There you go.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is this George?
No.
Oh.
Who'd you want? Hello?
George Norrie?
No, I think you've got the wrong line.
I'm the night graveyard shift caller. Weird elevator story.
You must be hooked in. I'm talking to my family by computer. I'm in Minneapolis. This is weird.
I just talked to your producer, call guy.
I don't have a call guy producer.
You're not on the air right now?
No, my name's Bert. I'm in my house. I'm on my computer.
So am I. I'm on Skype.
Yeah, I'm on Skype too.
You sound just like I'm trying to call the Coast to Coast line.
I've heard that show. That's the weird show, isn't it?
That's you. You sound just like him.
No, but you know, I listen to it most of the time. Anyways, yeah. What happened to my other call? I was just talking to my family. They're gone. And you popped up.
I was calling Coast to Coast and
Weird. Okay, well, I'm going to see if I can get my family and we'll see what's going on. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. John, welcome to the show. Hi, John.
George, how you doing, man?
Great.
Hey, George, I got a story. Basically, I'm sent from our family. It goes back about three generations. My great-great-great-grandfather apparently was a trapper up around Hudson Bay. And can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. Well, he was out checking his traps one night, and he saw a light moving across the sky. And it seemed like it went down in a clearing not too far away. So he goes over to the clearing, and he sees a ship there, what he appeared to, you know, he said it was a ship, I guess. But there was humanoid-type creatures, he said, walking around. One was a woman close to a little bit over 6 foot tall, and had these, what was remarkable about it, had the brightest blue eyes he'd ever seen in his life. And they stayed there for a few hours, and they spoke to him, and they gave him a lot of information.
What'd they say? Know?
Well, they said that they were from a planet called Aver, okay? And basically somewhere, they drew them a little map, apparently, or whatever, and it was in the Orion system.
That's a long way.
A long way, yeah. And they said they've been coming here for about maybe 400,000 years. And the reason they came here, because they discovered a jump gate out beyond the edge of our system. And that, you know, there's these little gray aliens they call keepers that watch over this. And the gate was getting ready to become active. And I guess they become active when the sentient races in the system get to a level where they'll be able to do, you know, space travel.
They come through that way. It's almost like a portal, isn't
it? Yeah, kind of like a portal. He says it was inactive when they came through, so they couldn't get back. So they made a base out around Jupiter, and it's a weird story. I don't know if I believe it or not, but my father told me, and he said his father told him, and so on.
It may be weird, but it sure is pretty believable, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it explains the grays and, and all these weird sightings and stuff. It's just a strange story.
Well, let me tell you, this universe is so immense and so special, anything is possible. Let's see if we can get Brian back on the Skype line, Fort Collins, Colorado. Brian, we lost you last time. You with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I did. I don't know where you were. I was talking to you, and you were gone. And
that was really weird because I got transferred to somebody else that was talking to Skype on their computer and somehow got transferred to a whole other different call.
You ended up talking to them?
Yes.
We get a lot of Skype phone calls I'm wondering if through this computer system, somehow you got hooked into them. That's weird.
It was really weird.
Who was the other person?
I can't remember his name, but he sounded just like you. I thought you were pulling my leg or something.
I mean, was he on hold waiting for me, for the show?
No, he said he was talking to his family, and somehow I just butted in, and he started talking to me instead.
Where was he from?
He didn't say. I think his name was Bert or something like that, but that's weird. Really weird.
That ever happened to you before?
Never.
That is strange. Oh, well, so what's on your mind, Brian?
Okay, so I was a security guard in the 1998 in Portland, one of the big hotels there, and I worked the graveyard shift, and in every elevator, modern elevator anyway, there's a control box that you need a key to get into.
Okay, I've seen those.
Yes, and once you open that up, there's a button, magic button in there, that once you push it, you have complete command of the elevator. It won't stop for anybody. Say you want to go to the 12th floor, it'll stay there with the doors open waiting for you until you go back in.
Ah, okay. Is it why'd they do that? Emergency purposes or something?
Yeah, so, you know, you can do your duties without interruption and stuff
okay.
like that. Firefighters can go up. So I read this. I've ridden an elevator many times, and I was coming down from the 23rd floor, and all of a sudden, the elevator stops abruptly and jerks up and down several times, and I thought I was going to die.
You thought the cable was going to snap, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was going to fall to my death, and right at that second, it must have been about 20, 30 seconds or something, it was jerking up and down, and I thought I was going to die. This voice comes from the top of the elevator, a little child's voice, like a little girl, it starts laughing like, and it scared the crap out of me.
I would guess so. Little kids' sounds like that are spooky anyway.
Oh, yeah. And then the door didn't open. It stopped on the 14th floor, which is really the 13th floor, but there's, you know, superstition. They take out the number 13.
Right.
And doors didn't open, and then after about 20 seconds, it just started on its way back down again, and I'll never forget that. It was really, really freaky and strange.
It sounds like your whole day has been strange, Brian. Strange Skype calls, everything.
That Skype thing was really weird.
All right, Brian, thanks. Good to be with us. Here's a trivia question for you. If you're in an elevator and it's crashing to the ground, right before it hits, if you jump up in the air, right? So the elevator hits the ground, bang, but you've jumped, so you're not on the bottom. You're in the air for a little bit. Do you get hurt? Now, anybody who understands that kind of mechanics, send me an email. Let me know. Do you get hurt? Elevator is ready to smash. It falls 20 floors right before it hits. At the very moment, you jump. I don't know how you're going to know that, but you jump, and so you don't hit the bottom. I don't think, do you? I think you get out of it scot-free. Next up, we've got some time, a couple more calls before the break. Let's go to North Carolina. Sheldon is there, first-time caller. Hey, good morning, Sheldon. Go ahead.
Good morning. How you doing, George?
Okay, Sheldon.
Well, I've been working night crew since about 2001.
You like it?
And yeah, actually, I like working nights pretty good.
It's a different life.
A lot less drama to deal with.
Yeah, that's true. What's been going on?
Well, I got off of work one night, and I come home, and I got some woods behind my house, and I heard some noises out there. I said, okay, I'll go see what it is. And I looked and kind of saw what appeared to be a big cat. And while I was looking at that, I looked to my right and I seen a pair of glowing eyes and some kind of like growl or something.
Ugh. As long as they're not red eyes.
No, it was green.
Sounds like a panther.
You know, that's what my neighbor says. I says it's a chupacabra, but couple of my neighbors, they think it's a mountain lion or a wildcat.
Could be. Could very well be. You got to be careful back there.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, story that we've posted on coasttocoastam.com yesterday, I don't know if you've seen that video at a zoo where this lion was trying to eat this little kid. I don't know if you saw that. Separated by glass. And you could see the little kid had his back against the glass, was not looking at the lion. The lion's behind him, trying to paw the glass and everything. And every once in a while, he'd open up his mouth and try to bite the kid's head. Of course, separated by this great big piece of glass, they couldn't get to him. And his family, the kid's family's there giggling and stuff like that. I'm not sure even on a joke like that, I'd want my kid sitting there. What if, for some reason, the glass broke and that lion grabbed the kid? I mean, that you never know. You never know, but it's an incredible piece of video. We still have it for you up there at coasttocoastam.com. Let's go to Edinburgh, Texas. It's David's turn on the Weird Line. Hey, David, go ahead.
What's up? Hey. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir. Make it a little bit quick. I'm over here in Edinburgh, Texas, and I work in this old abandoned asylum. Insane asylum. The reason why we have a security guard here is because, you know, how kids come in here and tag and do the drugs and whatever.
Yeah. Who owns that place?
It used to be the city of Mission, but I'm over here in Edinburgh right now.
Okay.
Anyway, it was one night around, and it was maybe a week after my father passed away. It was real strange. Like me, I don't believe in ghosts or anything, but I put this on my dad's grave. I heard this hideous scream. Until I'm thinking about it right now, I'm getting chills. It was like a screech, and then after maybe about 2 minutes later, you could smell like rotten flesh. And I was inside this asylum. This was a flashlight, no pistol, no stun gun. I mean, it's pitch black in there.
Get out of that place.
Yes, sir.
It's got to be weird.
Yeah, like it was like I don't know, like it's scary movie. They talk about banshees and stuff, but this was like my ears started ringing after that scream.
Yeah, some of those places in those days were not very humane for these poor people who are in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's next to an abandoned like church, but the church burned down, so it's pretty creepy because this church had like I think it was built in like 1780s, but it used to home like Indians, the Native Americans
yeah.
people here. Because I'm in South Texas. This is where Texas, which is where the border is. Like I'm talking about not where California is, where. You heard of Texas, right, before South Texas area?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I live in Brownsville, close to the border.
Sure.
But, man, that was the most creepiest thing in my life, you know. And this is my first time picking up the phone with you, you know. I listen to your show every single night, you know. I'm a first-time listener. I've only been listening to your show for about a year. But, you know, I learned a lot from your show than I ever learned from anybody.
We all do. And it makes the night go by so fast, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I mean, your listeners are real smart. You know, I enjoy hearing your guests on there. I mean, it's great.
David, you can get a degree practically listening to this program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will, sir. I mean, I appreciate what you do every night for us out here.
All right, David, you be well. You be well. We're going to come back in a moment. We've got Nathan in St. Louis. We are going to Flagstaff, Arizona. We've got Geneva, New York, Modesto, California, and the rest of the places. Final segment just ahead. On Coast to Coast AM. I'll also tell you when we come right back what's in store for the rest of the week. Great programs, superb guests again. These producers just keep doing it over and over again. And also, Tommy will have a text question or two for us as well, which I hope is a little better than what's my favorite dish I want to make. My gosh, how did he pull that one off? Stick with us. You can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We will be right back. Well, next week on Coast to Coast AM, Cal Cooper joins me on Monday as we talk about his work, Telephone Calls from the Dead. Tuesday, Richard Dolan, Bryce Zabel, talking about the Disclosure. Incredible show there. David Wilcock in his work, his investigations. He's back on Wednesday. John DeSalvo talks about the power of crystal skulls and alien technology, so it's a classic coast-to-coast week for you. And then we're back to open lines again right here on coasttocoastam.com. That's our website, and we'll be back with your calls. Don't touch your dial. Okay, here we go with our final segment of Open Lines. Let us go to our weird worker line. Ryan is in Chowchilla, California. Ryan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George Nori. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you for years.
Well, thank you.
Pretty much ever since I had this job, you know, working the night shift, I've been listening to you.
It does make the nights go by, no doubt.
Sure does. So I've had like the one of the weirdest things in my life happen to me last Saturday while I was on my way home from work.
What happened?
I kind of get the shakes talking about it. Uh-oh. I was driving along, going southbound on the 99, just south of Madera. All of a sudden, man, like these bright lights just came over the horizon, and I don't know what it was. I could only describe it like some kind of like flying wing or maybe some kind of top secret military drone. It was like nothing I've ever seen. And it flew right over my vehicle. And there's a guy next to me driving on the road too. And we both practically slowed down to a stop. We're just watching this thing. It was incredible.
Could it have been a drone? It might have been. What do you think?
I don't know what it was. It had like three, it was like triangle shape, and it had three extremely bright white LED, or I don't know if they're LEDs or what, but that's the closest I could describe it. And flew right over, it like circled around, and it kind of flew off in the distance, just kind of hovered up in the sky, like doing, I mean, I don't know what it was doing, kind of looked like some kind of maneuvers or something. But man, I just pulled over off into some of these vineyards over here, and I just watched it for about 40 minutes. And I was trying to call coast to coast, you know, but I couldn't get through to you guys.
It's something. You know, these triangular-shaped objects are popping up all over the place. St. Louis, we go. Hello, Nathan. It's your turn.
Hey, George. How are you?
Okay. St. Louis Blues are getting creamed, though, by the L.A. Kings, aren't they?
I know, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, Chris Kerber's out here, and one of the announcers. He called me yesterday. We're gonna try to get together tomorrow, and
he's
all
upset. Not the same team that we saw play all year.
No, it was an incredible team. They just fell apart out here.
I know. Well, George, I just want to say first and foremost, I've been listening to you since about 2002. I've been listening to Art Bell before you.
Sure.
And I just want to tell you, you know, thank you very much for opening my mindset to what's going on in the world. And I just got to be honest with you, you know, you've had people like Stephen Quayle and Alex Jones coming up on your show. And I have a big concern right now, what's going on in America today.
Well, and justified, by the way. You are very justified in that concern.
Right. And NDAA Act going through and peacetime martial law, you know, the thing that's going on for me is I'm concerned about when it comes to like the Nephilim and everything that's going on in the world. This is spiritual warfare. And I think, I mean, I have a big concern, like awakening of America and the Constitution to where I may be a little bit concerned to like people are not Ron Paul and everything that's going on.
Well, not a lot of people are aware of this. I mean, you know, you're in the heartland of America. You're in the Midwest. I go to St. Louis a lot. Not a lot of people, Nathan, not a lot of people are tuned in like you are and realize what's going on. I bet if you tell your friends, look, you know, they're passing laws where they can take you without charging you, I bet they'd say you're nuts. They don't understand. But these things are real.
Right. And, like, even, like, today, Europe even just said that they're trying to raise a super president.
Yeah, they want that super European guy who runs the European Union. They want him to be like a god.
Right, and England even just said that they're willing to pull out of the EU over this whole thing, saying this is a revived Roman Empire.
Watch them try to creep their way toward us.
Well, let me ask you, what can we do?
You do what you're still doing. And my point is that if you keep doing what you're doing and your neighbor eventually catches on and the next person catches on, we're going to win in the long run.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm currently running for a committeeman position politically.
What's are you in the city proper or are you in a suburb?
Lime.
Okay, I know it. Know it well.
Lime.
Well, yeah, so, get out there and let's see what happens. We need 100 like you out there.
Yeah, I mean, we got to like awaken the people to the Constitution. And my fear is the fact that America right now, they're not, the Constitution is taken away from us.
Of course. And let me tell you something, Nathan, I'm going to take a few more calls, but let me finish this call this way. As long as we have people in this country who are as awake as you are, listening, talking, and pushing, we're going to win eventually, no matter what the odds might seem. We'll go to Wade in Longview, Texas. First-time caller, Wade, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Tor?
Okay, Wade, thanks for calling.
Look, you know, I started listening to your program because I'd get a kick out of the people that would call in, and I always, I would call freaks, nuts, and weirdos.
Uh-huh.
And I'd roll my eyes and laugh and do all that, and but I can honestly say that I listen to everybody now with an open mind because of what I saw Thanksgiving morning of 2009.
What was that?
I was fishing out off the Sabine River, and it was about 6:30 in the morning, and I heard wood snap, and I sat there and watched what I saw come walking out of the woods down toward the river. And if you want to call it a Bigfoot, then that's what it was, but this thing was only about 5 foot tall. But I know what I saw, George. Now, people, you know, I've never really believed in all that. And that's why when I listen to your show, I always got a kick out of people. But when you see something like that in real life,
then you know.
You know. Because I know what I saw.
Now, if this one was only about 5 feet tall, it was probably a junior Bigfoot or Sasquatch, a smaller one, a baby.
Well, I've always heard, you know, oh, it's 7-8 foot tall, and this wasn't. This was only about 50 yards down the way.
Did it look like an ape, Wade?
It was. See, I don't know how to describe it. I know it was hairy, and when you see something like that, it takes you by surprise. You don't know how to react. And I sat there and watched this thing. And when it dawned on me to grab my phone, when I grabbed it, I turned back. The thing took off and started walking back into the woods.
You're going to grab a picture of it?
Yes. But at the time, whenever you're sitting there watching something like that,
you don't think about that.
You don't.
No, you're in shock. Everything's happening. The adrenaline is rushing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've never discussed this with anybody because I didn't want them looking at me the way I used to look at you.
See? Now you know. Most of it's real. Some of it's fun.
Well, I mean, you know, people really, to this day, will tell you that they don't believe in it, blah, blah, blah. But when it happened, if I had had one of my friends, just somebody with me, you know, it's easier to talk about.
Somebody who would say, you know what we saw. So this thing ran off back into the woods, and that was it?
It didn't run. It walked back into the woods.
No fear about you at all, was it?
No, none. Yeah, I mean, me, personally, I was terrified.
What, did you think it was going to attack you?
George, I didn't know what it was going to do. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew, I mean, at the time, was just disbelief. But I knew what I was staring at.
Are you a believer now, Wade?
Oh, absolutely.
See? Big difference. Wade, thank you. Tom's got another text for us. What do you got, Tom? I hope it's a little better than my favorite cooking dish.
Sometimes they come in so fast, I'm lucky to get
any. You're not going
to
hear the end of that one.
Listen, Sammy in South Carolina. George, I have heard you say that you can tell when earthquakes are coming. Didn't you say you have some device in your studio?
Much better. Much better text question.
I don't have a choice.
I have an earthquake detector. It is not a predictor. It's a detector. It's a difference. Do you know what the difference is, Tom, between a predictor and a detector?
Yes.
What? Tell me.
Well, when you predict, you are not sure it's going to happen. When a detector detects that it is happening.
It's already happening.
Correct.
All right. What I have, as you all know, is a pyramid-shaped object that the late Dr. Fred Bell sent me. Remember?
I do remember.
God rest his soul. And it is made up of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10, 11, 12 other pyramids. It's shaped like that. And it's hanging by a little thread, a cord, from the ceiling. When an earthquake hits out here in Southern California, as it has a couple times, very small, the thing keeps moving. It only moves when there's an earthquake. And that's my detector.
I used to wonder why you'd ask me so much to look up and see if we did had an earthquake, and then I remembered that was in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
Didn't you predict a 7-0? Or you told me something about that last week.
I had a dream, but I predicted that even before I talked to Jim Berkland today, the geologist, we're going to have a big earthquake this weekend because of the full moon somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere.
Well, if we do, it'll be detected.
We'll see. And I told you this because I wanted you to record it and come back to me saying, oh, my God, you predicted it. Remember that.
I know why you said that.
Yeah. Danny, have you ever seen that thing move? A couple times. Yep. Yep. It happens. Okay, who's next? We go to Linda, Windsor, Canada, right across from Detroit.
Hi.
Hey, Linda.
You got me in a spell there. Getting goosebumps all over.
Yes.
I wanted to, this is a true story. This is told to me by my uncle.
Sure.
And this had to happen when he was a young boy in the 30s. Now, he was playing with his cousin and friends, and they were out, this is out west, and they were jumping on big rocks, you know, boulders. Well, he jumped on this big boulder, and it threw him off. And his cousin jumped on one, and it threw them off. And they were just mystified, like they got scared, and they, you know, left the place. They just, you know, back then, who would have thought? And then I was thinking, that's just about around the time zone that Leedsglen was doing Coral Castle.
Aha! Uh-huh.
You know, and I thought, wait a minute.
How about that for timing?
Exactly. And I know, like, even from Tesla, the knowledge that guy had, you know, had. They never made a lot of money. Neither did Leedsglen.
No, they were doing it for themselves, really.
Yeah, but there's something, George, I can't help but feel that there's more of them, and they stay hidden, because I think if they know and have seen.
No, I think you're right. They're afraid.
Exactly.
They're afraid. Somebody will surprise them. Look, I would have loved to have seen Edward Leedsglen build Coral Castle down in Florida. When he told everyone he had the secrets to the pyramids, and then those blocks he was able to move, I would have loved to have been a witness to that. I would have loved to have been a witness to how the pyramids in Egypt were made. I would have gone back into time just to see that. Maybe one day when we invent the time machine, we'll be able to do that. Maybe. Maybe one day.
I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost.
Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
And it'll be John B. Wells on Saturday, and I'll be on Sunday night for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.